You're listening to Higher Ed Social. This is episode 5. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Logan. And this week we talked to Kristen Burns, the marketing writer at UC Davis.
Yeah. And even though none of us work in admissions, we talked about it for a really, really long time on this episode.
Yeah. And there's a really good reason for that. Both Kristen and I worked in admissions in our careers in higher education. And this episode, kind of the theme of it, is how you may leave admissions, but admissions never leaves you.
Yeah, so we talked a lot about incoming students, the class of groups, how hashtags and tag boards can be really helpful. But then we also talked about some other fun things like studying abroad and some other important things to remember in the office, especially when you have those young 20, 22, 23-year-olds. They're important. So we hope that you enjoy episode 5 of Higher Ed Social.
Jackie, what you just told
me. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Nice to officially meet you on the podcast.
I know, right?
This is great.
My coworker was reading the trending hashtag for, I think it's five words not to say on a date or to make a bad date. And it was help me change my diaper was one of
them.
That's
fantastic. Oh my God.
That would definitely be a killer for me, I'm thinking.
I feel like someone probably came up with that based on like a true life experience. Like they actually were on a date. And someone said that. Like, you can't just make that up. I don't know.
I am glad that I am not that person, thankfully.
That is true.
I don't think I've seen you in, like, years.
It probably... I was just thinking. I was trying to remember the first time we met. Which conference was it at? Was it Austin or was it... what was the other one? I went to Chicago. I think it was Chicago.
Yeah, I think it was one of the Chicago conferences. Was it ED? No, it was a Staymates conference, wasn't it?
Yep. That's it.
Good old Staymates.
That's so fun. I love conferences.
And
bring
who is this?
Together. This is my cat. This is Casey.
Excellent.
Casey likes to walk on laptops, so we're going to hope that she doesn't do that today while we record because, you know, that wouldn't go very well. So this is Casey. She does her thing.
Yes, I have 6 cats, and I'm sure one of them will show up at some point.
Oh, yeah, we talked 6? About them all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I was feeling
crazy
like
cat.
I was going to say I was like crazy cat lady with 2, but 6, you take the cake.
I win. Yep.
How's the kid?
He is very, very allergic to peanuts, apparently. We found out yesterday.
Oh.
Well, not for sure yet. We haven't tested him, but he definitely broke out. And now he has what looks like pink eye, so that's cheerful too.
Aw. How old is he now?
He is 18 months.
Gosh. Yeah, we haven't. It has been a couple of years. Look,
more than a couple. So why don't you tell us about yourself and the listeners?
Yeah, introduce yourself. Random third voice to the podcast.
My name is Kristen Burns, and I am currently the marketing writer for the Strategic Communications Office at the University of California, Davis. I work on our branding campaigns, and right now we're in our one UC Davis campaign. So I've been very busy. We're writing profiles and stories about that.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, what's that like?
It's fun. You know what? I used to, prior to in this position, I worked in undergraduate admissions as the marketing manager, and I love working with students. They're awesome. Prospective, current, alumni, I love working with them. But this has been really cool because I've had a chance to meet people outside the student body on campus, so faculty, staff, recent retirees. It's been a really interesting opportunity to meet a lot of really cool people on campus and hear what they're doing. We always hear about these fantastic things people are doing on campus, but to actually talk to someone and hear them talk about why they're here, what they're doing, how they're working with other people on campus to collaborate and come up with these really cool solutions it's really, really fun.
So what kind of campaign is it? Is it a development campaign? Is it a fundraising?
It's a campus-wide branding campaign. So all across all the different units on campus. We call it One UC Davis. It's all about bringing the community together, and we're, you know, working together, collaborating together. And the way that you can solve problems in this world is not by yourself. It's going to be by working with, you know, a bunch of different people, bringing in a bunch of diverse experiences. So one of the cool things about Davis is we have a lot of different disciplines that work together. So we've got our veterinary school working with our College of Engineering, working with the School of Medicine, working with our College of Biological Sciences on these different programs. So it's a really unique way to look at things rather than just, you know, one way to look at helping maybe like, say, a dog that needed its jaw reconstructed. They've mm-hmm. worked with these different departments to figure out a way to do that in a really unique way they wouldn't have done, I think, on their own. So it's been pretty cool.
So what made you want to switch from admissions to...
That is a great question.
To what is it?
It's strategic communications. It's basically the centralized communications arm of the campus. I was with admissions for 9 years, I think.
Wow.
And yeah,
you know, that's a lot.
What were you like 10 when that, you know, 9 years ago?
When I made the shift from admissions to marketing and public relations, I had been in admissions for 3 years mm-hmm. and I am just now starting my, I'm ending my fourth year in marketing. I'm not ending, but you know, I've been at Belmont for 7 years, so it's definitely been crazy, but not as long as you. I thought I'd been in admissions a long time.
Yeah. I think I just celebrated my 11th anniversary at Davis last summer, so I've been here a while.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So is working in admissions then like a prereq to working in like central communications?
I think it definitely helps. Because a lot of the programs that, like, for example, we work with graduate studies, we are working with admissions for yield materials. And a lot of the different groups that I'm working with or interviewing, I already either know them or know someone who knows them. So I think it definitely helps. It also helps when you're talking about those kind of global campaigns. It's nice to have someone there, I think, that has that student perspective mm-hmm. and is always keeping an eye on kind of like, well, what would prospective students think about that? And are they being... included as part of the conversation, and is the messaging going to work with them, that kind of thing.
I think that's one of the things that I learned when I was in admissions, and what's helped me since I've come over to marketing is that I know everybody.
Yes.
Like you come in and, you know, you just know everybody, like from faculty to students the prospective students. I mean, I was running the Facebook groups before I yep. moved over to marketing. So I had like an entire class of students, like every single one of them knew who I was.
Now isn't that crazy?
I know.
Did you have them come up to you at like events and stuff and be like, you're that guy?
They at first, this is the class of 2015, which is the one that's graduating this year. And there's still 900 people in that group. They would grab me at like the different orientation sessions and at the beginning of school, and every single one of them would say the same thing. You're real. You're a real person.
You're like, yes, I am.
You're not a cardboard cutout that, you know,
you're
computer
not
that answers questions.
And some lame guy behind the computer. You're a real
exactly.
human.
So the best part is they would like grab me and like take selfies with me mm-hmm. and like make me do these like awkward hand gestures and things. It was very odd.
We started the first Facebook group on campus. I think it was in 2007. This is aging us, but we've had classes that have fully graduated and gone, you know, it's been however many years, 8 years, I guess that would be, but it's insane. The same thing, they would come up to me at our welcome events for admitted students and kind of be scared to talk to me like, oh, you're Kristen, like, you know stuff. And I'm like, come up, give me a hug. We're so excited to have you. Yeah, exactly. I was super excited to meet them. And that, I think that's one of the best memories of working in admissions is, you know, seeing the students after all the work and all the effort that's gone in and seeing them come to those events and be so excited to be there and, you know, want to be Aggies. It's amazing.
What's interesting is that at the last graduation, because I run graduations, I do the live streams and all that kind of stuff and I also, at Belmont. And I also do the big photo frames that we do mm-hmm. for,
how are those working?
Oh, they're working great. I usually get about like 10-20% of the students to actually do it. But what was interesting about this year, this last semester, was that the first kids from the 2015 group started graduating, the ones that mm-hmm. graduated early. So at all, I mean, I've been doing this for like two or three years, the photo frames, and every time it's always, hey you, hey you, hey you, can I get my picture with it? This time, so many of them were, hey Logan. And I was like, what? Like, who's calling my name?
Celebrity.
I know, right? It should be in their view book.
But I have to say, it's not so much, I'm not trying to be, you know, really, really like, you know, egotistical or anything, but it really makes you feel good. You know, here's a kid that you accepted into a Facebook group when they were a senior in high school. And they were so happy and they were so excited to come to Belmont and this was going to change their life and this is their dream school and you're seeing them graduate and it's just the best feeling in the world, even though you had nothing to do with their education at all.
What are you talking about? You set the tone, Logan. You set
That's
the tone.
That's true.
I suppose, but...
That Facebook group probably got some study groups out of that, advice on classes.
They sold
a lot
of
books.
More
than you think.
They sold a lot of books. A couple of, bands were born, you know.
Very awesome.
What's the worst thing?
You get to see them go out. Oh, sorry.
That you guys have. Oh, no, sorry. What's like the craziest thing that you've seen posted on those class of groups by your students?
You want to start?
I have to say that they're actually pretty, pretty good. We really don't have anything bad that happens in the group. I've only ever had to delete maybe a handful of posts in the five Facebook groups that we've created over the last 5 years. And that's because we're very clear to the students, like what you can post and what you can't post.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have guidelines that we publish and say, hey guys, you know, follow these guidelines and you're good to go and you can talk about anything. So typically we don't have anything too horrible that goes
that's
in there.
That's good.
It's mostly just right now in the 2019 group. Oh, the 2019 group.
That's insane.
Just saying that out.
What year were they born? Like 96 or something? It's crazy.
Probably the year I graduated. I don't
know. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
We don't want to go there. But I'm pretty sure I was in high school when they were born. But they're in the initial stage, which is the write 8 paragraphs about themselves and the very last sentence being, I'm looking for a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cute.
That
Don't
is super
knock
cute.
It. I think it's adorable.
Yes, they're so
or
happy.
Or what shows they like to watch. And then like 10 other students be like, I watched that too. Oh, it's so cute.
I'm waiting for
all the clubs they're in high school.
I'm waiting for the what's your favorite Pokemon. It happens every year. I don't know why. I'm wondering if they're ever going to like grow out of it. Like at some point there's going to be a class and be like, what's a Pokemon?
No, don't say that.
I don't know. Then it'll just be like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It'll go into hiding for a few years and then resurface, you know, kind of different but the same. So our Facebook groups, same thing. I think this is pretty much the same experience. That we did have one time a couple of guys figured out a way to hack into it and changed the top image. And
Whoa.
Change some things. Yeah. And so, but what was interesting to me is I didn't really have to do anything about it because all the other students kind of rallied together and voiced their opinions about it. And I guess started hammering these guys about it and they changed it back.
That's my favorite thing about those groups is like mm-hmm. when it actually works as a community in like a positive way.
Yep. They like self-regulate, so cool. Which is great. So, and we have the same thing. We have what we call our principles of community for the campus. That's an expectation that you're going to follow those guidelines in general. That's not just specific to social media, but so it's very clear also. And so I think at the time that I, you know, worked with those groups, I probably only had to remove a couple people that were very clearly like just squatting and, you know, the like, hey, I'm from wherever. And you're like, you're not going to this school because I've seen you at UCLA, UC Santa Barbara and all these, you know, other college Facebook groups too. So there's kind of trolling for vendor business or something.
Our groups are private, so I have to admit kids into mm-hmm. the group. So they go in and they like it and then I go into banner and then I go in and check and see their application status.
I did that like the first round and then when I realized that we admit like 5,000 kids, that was not going to be the best use of my time.
Yours is a little harder.
A little bigger, yeah.
Well, you know, when it's 20 a day, it's not that bad.
Sure.
I've gotten really good at it.
I guess both of you can answer this question as well, since I was at a community college, so we couldn't really do class of groups because people graduate at crazy different times. Some are just not on the trick, so that was not really something I really had to manage. But in terms of promotion, is this something that you're explicitly telling your students to get involved in, or is it something that they're just kind of finding on their own from their own excitement about being admitted?
We invite them explicitly in the admit materials and also at our My Admissions website. We do want to build that community right away. I think that's really important for the students to get to know each other, meet each other, and kind of, you know, suss out. We can talk to them all day long about what our community is like, what our culture is like here, but, you know, it's not until they start to meet the other students and figure out if that's the kind of place that they want to be, I think, besides visiting the campus and meeting current students. So I definitely, you know, would say we'd like to get them on board sooner rather than later. But, you know, it's interesting because a lot of students, I think, don't read the materials and they just find out about it from a friend who also got in. And now that's how they get in. So it's an interesting combination.
You know, considering that we went off on this really long conversation about admissions and neither of us are in admissions anymore, I think it just proves the point. And this is something that I've kind of noticed in myself is that you leave admissions, but admissions never leaves you.
Aw, I need a t-shirt that says that. That would be really cute. We should start doing that.
Because, you know, once you've either been an admissions counselor or even me, who was just sending emails and doing technology in admissions, like the admissions talk is there. Like, you know.
Yep. We just released our application numbers today along with the rest of the University California system. And I think we had close to 80,000 applications this fall, which is insane. So it's a lot of students. And how many students do you have
7,300.
Okay.
And you guys are a lot bigger.
We are, but you know, it's funny. I mean, I think we're now at 35,000 overall, and that includes our graduate students and our professional schools.
Yep.
But then I see somebody like, what is it, Michigan State? That's like 50 something thousand, or, you know, I mean, it's amazing how big it can scale up.
I mean, once you add online classes, there's schools that have, just a stupid number, of people. And I don't mean stupid in a bad way. I just mean, it's really huge.
A lot.
It's really large. It's extremely large. But, you know, as long as people are getting the education they need, that's what's important. No matter what size, you know, you are. But
that was nice. That was really nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I like to say all the time, you know, as long as you learn how to think by the time you've left college, you're ahead of the game.
Excellent. I also learned how to shuffle a deck of cards my freshman year, that like a properly shuffle. That was one of my biggest skills, I think, learned that year. My parents are incredibly proud.
Is it like the Vegas shuffle where you just spread them all out on the table and you just mix them up?
No. Like actually doing, you know, the bridge. I can't like, you know, throw stuff down and flip it back or anything like that. That would have been too advanced maybe. But, yeah.
That's
so sophomore year. So when you say cards, you mean like Cards Against Humanity?
Playing cards. No, playing cards.
Oh,
sorry.
What are those?
Oh my God. Don't even start.
Playing cards? Is that,
how would you,
is that
you
like phase 10 or something?
Cards of Humanity. I laugh too much at them to actually be able to, you know, shuffle them. But yeah, old school cards. For people who don't know, there are numbers on them.
Some faces.
And symbols of some sort. Letters. I believe they call them suits.
Don't people still play poker?
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's
right?
A thing. It's one on ESPN. It's on ESPN. I know that.
Hey, speaking of ESPN, our basketball team was just on ESPN on Saturday, and we won in overtime, which was super exciting. And you know what our hashtag was? AggieSPN.
Oh.
Who thought of that? Brilliant, right?
I was saying, did you come up with it? That sounds
fantastic. I would have never come up with that, but I think we probably should recruit that person and have them working with us if they're not already doing that.
Seriously.
So does your office handle social media as well?
So we handle central, so for the campus wide, but then departments have their own. Is that how you guys are, or do you?
Yeah, that's pretty much how everybody is, I think.
So it's kind of funny because the social media person that she sits right behind me, and she just graduated last year. Her name is Geed. She's awesome, by the way. And it's just funny because, you know, she's 22, I think. And so it's always interesting to get really kind of like a touch on, she's 21. Okay, excuse me, 21. So even fresher than 22. And it's interesting to keep, you know, just an eye on like popular culture and know what's in the mind of a, you know, 21-year-old or 18 to 21-year-old. It's pretty fascinating because we'll run stuff by her and she'll just be like, no, that's not going to work. And she'll just tell you, and that's great because then you don't feel like, you know, a crazy
honest
person.
Opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
You do need it.
Maybe well, Jackie was that fresh out of college.
I was.
Social media person at one time.
Jackie, where did you go to school?
I attended SUNY Geneseo in New York, where I had, what was so funny, I was, you know, as a senior, I was doing the senior thing of like, oh, I worked really hard my first 3 years here, so I don't really have to work hard my senior year, and just kind of like lollygagging around, and fate brought me into an internship in the Department of Communication and Marketing at Geneseo, where I worked alongside, you know, my future mentor and colleague. Who was doing social media and web, and that was like, wait, this is a job? Like, I had no idea that it was like, oh, this could be someone's position. So that made me say, actually, I don't want to go to grad school right now. I'm just going to go find a job, and I did. And so I started working at Genesee Community College, very close to Geneseo. Worked there for a little over a year as the web and social media coordinator.
Awesome.
And now work over at a company called Merit. So I'm still in the higher ed realm, which I love. It's a pretty cool gig. And I get to still work with awesome colleges across the country. So it's really fun.
Very cool.
Yep.
That's what I do. But yeah, being that like first year out of college person is definitely its own version of interesting, for sure. So you have a lot of different. I mean, especially for me coming from like, oh, I used to use social media as like a human and I kind of developed some good habits and then I got to intern about it and then all of a sudden I'm thrown into it on a professional level was its own experience for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting from the experience I had, which came from, you know, I was known on campus for doing other things with electronic communication and stuff. And then we started Facebook and Twitter and YouTube in partnership with communications and marketing, and the position was created, which is interesting because, you know, I still do stuff. I still allows me to do stuff with admissions. So I still do some of my old job on occasion with video stuff with admissions and all that kind of fun stuff, online campus tour. I still get to go to preview days and do things.
Preview days.
Yes, preview days.
I get to sleep in on those Saturdays now, so I don't have to deal with that.
I get to be there first thing in the morning.
I guess
7 o'clock.
Yay. I used to have to, you know, they'd schedule us and you'd get that list and you're like, oh, I'm like 3 to 5 o'clock cleanup. How did that happen?
Considering that I had to get there, have to get there now at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Tell me, Logan, how are you, what kinds of things are you doing as far as getting the students to interact with you during the events? I mean, aside from like coming up to a booth or whatever, like digitally.
We have a hashtag. The hashtag is Discover Belmont. And we put it up on the screens during the video presentations and several other different ways on the admissions materials and all that kind of fun stuff. During our student life panel, students are asked to tweet their questions using the hashtag, and then we pull questions from that hashtag to answer. And that's worked out really, really well. We also just generally... during some of our visit events, we have hashtag signs out and all that kind of fun stuff because, you know, I love my hashtag signs.
Do you guys have like a site? Do you create like a tag board or anything to collect all the various?
Of course.
Of course you do.
Of course I create a tag board.
They did that for our basketball game on Saturday, which was cool because I couldn't make it. And so it was fun because it felt like I was there seeing all the students post their photos and everything. And they had a little video when we won and it was fun. I was like, yeah, I got it all in like 2 minutes. I didn't have to go to the game.
We have all the tag boards. We have all the tag boards. We
do
have a lot of fun
with those tag boards when you're done.
Like, they're never
do
done.
Do you use that?
Because
that's a good question.
These tag boards though from the specific orientation, or how do you group that information?
Well, Discover Belmont's from is used from all preview days. So, you know, you could technically go back and see what happened to the last preview day, which is totally fine because you're just going to see a bunch of other excited students that you're going to go to school with one day.
And how do you
every single year?
Huh?
Yeah, that's a question too.
What's that?
How do you promote the tag board?
It depends on the depends on the event. Sometimes we just create a tag board just for us to watch for fun. And some tag boards, like our Belmont to Anywhere tag board, like we share on the university homepage. Belmont to Anywhere is our study abroad, like vacation hashtag. So what students do is they, if they're studying abroad or if they're on a vacation someplace cool, or if they're just at home and they want, or they're doing something fun, they can tag their post on Instagram or Twitter or whatever with Belmont to Anywhere, and then it goes into this beautiful thing. So we have, you know, students in Chicago doing mission work. We have students in Greece, like touring for study abroad. You know,
Sounds lovely. I would like to do that.
And we did that. We did that over the summer this year, and wow, it was amazing. It was amazing. Just. And it made me jealous because the kids were doing, students were doing all kinds of
Good. I'm not the only one who says that.
The students were doing amazing things. It was so, so much fun just to watch them like go out and do their things. So, hopefully we'll do more with the Belmont to Anywhere, this year. But we leave the tag board up because, you know, maybe we want to go back and see it. You know, I want to see those pictures from Greece.
Oh, yeah. Those of all the travels of places and students have gone. I would totally check that out. We had like a photo. We do a photo contest through our study abroad group. And it's just the photos are amazing. That's the one, I think, big regret I have from college is not studying abroad. I just thought it would be too expensive and thought, how am I going to spend a quarter away from my friends? And I'm like, man, why didn't I do that?
Yeah. I was so lucky. In undergrad, my undergrad institution had a lot of summer abroads, so I got to take advantage of that and headed over to Italy, because at Geneseo, we are required to take humanities as part of our general education, and I think personally, they're kind of like, yep, we know for a lot of you this is miserable because you're not really, like, philosophical minds because you're going to be reading, like, Plato and stuff, so go ahead, go to Italy, go to Greece, you know, go to all these places. So it was a great experience, and I was the same way, you know, like, how am I going to afford this, and, like, I don't want to spend a semester with my friends, so I still got that opportunity. It was a month, and so we were in Italy, and it was awesome. So any students out there listening, because I know we have such a huge listening base right now, but take advantage of study abroad, because it's a great experience.
Agreed. I was working with a student last year. He just graduated in June, and before he graduated, he was kind of hemming and hawing. I should apply, but I don't know. And I was like, just do it. You'll never regret it. Mm-hmm. And he went to Italy in July, and he would send me pictures. And it was just, he said he had the best time. And oh, man, I wish I had gone. I'm still looking for a way so I can go watch some soccer over in Europe. That's my big bucket list.
You mean football?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
That's true.
Football.
One of the fun things, I never went on study abroad, unfortunately, but I did have the luck of having parents that lived in Europe. So I did get to go to Europe. I went to the Czech Republic. It was at Christmas time, so it was snowing and cold. We took a tour of some of the countryside. One of the most eye-opening experiences that I ever had was went to Auschwitz and Birkenau, and that I think it was like minus 15 degrees Fahrenheit. It was very everything that you would think something like that was. So it was very eye-opening just to see what it was really like to be there. And what else did we do? Went to Vienna. Got to see the Habsburg Palace. That was really cool. It was a very interesting and fun 2 weeks, and cold.
What's the weather like where you are now?
Probably not that, Mr. Tennessee.
Well, okay, we're talking to the person in Southern California.
Yeah, that's true. You probably have the best, Kristen.
Let's see here.
Oh, no, we're in Northern California.
Oh, sorry, Northern California.
Oh my God, you cannot even.
Because
all of the Northern California.
What is the weather like there?
It was 65 today and sunny, so it was rather nice. I have to say, it's usually not quite that warm, but it's we're not hurting over here.
It's 31 degrees right now and cloudy.
Yeah,
and wet because it rained.
A coworker of mine, she just recently left for a position in Minnesota. So she likes to text me weather screenshots from time to time. She sent me one yesterday and was like, I really wish I was in California. Sorry.
Sorry.
I just checked my weather forecast and there is nothing in the double digits until tomorrow at about noon.
You're in New York,
I'm in New York. I'm in Albany. So it is 3 right now. It's so fun to see just one digit. Like, I think it's just so funny. Like, it's going to get up to 7 tonight and then back down to 0.
So are you all about the layering, I'm guessing?
Yeah, we layer. I mean, like, my apartment fortunately puts heat in my rent, so I don't feel as bad about, like, blasting it at, like, 80 in my apartment. So that's really nice. But yeah, so we're pretty used to it. The worst is like just ice, like, or the wind. Wind and cold weather is like brutal because you just can't see because your eyes are tearing up and like your fingers are numb. It's sad, but we get through it.
It must be nice in California though to have like 2 seasons, you know, wet and dry.
We have warm and we have beautiful fall and beautiful spring. And then, yeah, the funny thing is we get the students from Southern California and they're like, it's so cold here.
We have a lot of students from Southern California too, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It was 7 degrees on last Thursday or Wednesday. And it was miserable, but...
Do even your, like, local students know how to handle that type of weather, though? Like, you can't fault, like, any of those students. I feel like the only students that are, like, no big deal are, like, the New York kids or, like, the Montana kids.
What makes Belmont interesting is, like, 70% of kids are from out of state. So we see...
Wow.
We have kids from New York, and we have kids from Southern California and Texas. And the kids from, like, you know... From the southern states or the desert states or the western states are like, oh my gosh, it's so cold. And the people from up north are like, what is your problem? This is shorts
get
weather.
A jacket.
Let's make snow angels.
Put a jacket on.
If it only snowed. We get the cold weather without the benefit of snow.
So. We are about 2 hours from Lake Tahoe. So it's kind of funny because one of our most popular student groups on campus is the Ski or Snowboard Club. Which you would initially think being where we are because, you know, but within 2 hours you can be there. So a lot of people take that up during the winter.
People in your cool states that have, have snow and
oceans. We'll talk in July when you guys get the humidity though, right?
Right. You have
dry heat. Yeah. We get the 105 dry.
Yeah. We get the 105, 90 degrees humidity. So
I'll take my 3 degrees at night. I'm okay with that.
Hey, summers up in New York are amazing. So
I have not been. I'll have to try that out.
Yeah, it's very nice from what I hear in the 70s. And yes.
It's kind of like our January. Yeah.
Kind of like your January. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel bad because I forgot where Davis is.
Oh, geez. We're about 15 to 20 minutes west of Sacramento, which is the state capital for people who think that it's Los Angeles. Some people do. It's not.
And it's not San Francisco either.
And it's not San Francisco. We're about an hour and a half east of San Francisco. We do get a lot of students from internationally that do not initially know that we're, I wouldn't say a lot. We've had a few that come and think that we're UCLA or Berkeley. And then they're like, oh, or I had this one student, he was so cute. He said his mom still thinks he goes to UCLA because that's the only UC that she knows and recognizes. So he'll come home and say, no, mom, it's Davis. And she'll say, yes, UCLA is great. So what are you going to do? As long as he knows I'm good. We'll work from there.
Maybe he'll go to UCLA
for grad school.
Do you have a competitive relationship with those other schools then? Like, what is your relationship with those schools?
You know, I think it's definitely, I would say, like any, like a real family, right? You've got those moments where you love each other like no other, brother and sister. And then the time when you want to break out on your own and, you know, have your own individuality. And you know, we're all going after the same students. So at times it can definitely feel competitive, I think. But I also think that we all do such different things. We're all in such different locations that there are unique points for each of us. So I think it would be worse maybe, and because we're sort of the northernmost campus and we've got our agriculture and, you know, school of vet medicine and things that aren't offered at other campuses, you know, it's a little easier, I think, to stand out. But I think in general, we all work together really well. We have monthly communicator meetings with the UC system, and it's always great to talk to them and see what everyone's, you know, doing on campus. And we're all going through the same, you know, challenges and struggles and, you know, tuition hikes and various things. So, you know, for the most part, 99% of the time, we're in it together.
Nice. That's awesome. Cool to hear. That really wasn't the answer I thought you were going to say, which is cool that you guys all have that really nice relationship. That's really awesome.
Well, I think we're pretty much out of time.
Yeah, this is where the music will play.
The cats come out.
Yeah.
I saw one behind you, Logan, for a little bit there. I don't know where he went.
Wait, he's right here. Okay, so thanks to all our listeners this week for listening. Don't forget to go to iTunes and subscribe. And you can also go to highered.social to download all of our podcasts and listen and subscribe. So thanks for listening.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, guys.